man. Out of his mouth the word of God went, spoken to us by God's prophet. For this our day, there's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. No shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. I've met my Lord. I've met my Lord in the word of today. I see the light, there is no longer gray. I've been blessed the Son with authority as an heir of the King. Rapturing faith has set me apart. I'll serve my God with my mind, soul, and heart. I'll stay with the word given to me for this my day. Food in the store. There's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. One more time. Oh, there's food in the storehouse. There's food in the storehouse. There's plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word. Oh, there's no shortage of meat, no shortage of water. Come, let us feast, my sister and brother. Plenty of food in the storehouse of God's word.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I was over there thinking there for a while. I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks now. And it's just amazing how much, if you take a look at the three main events of humanity, the water, the blood, and the spirit, that each time was actually to save humanity. Noah's Ark. They talk about that, look all the people like, no. The serpent seed was on the earth. God did Noah's Ark to save humanity. He eliminated our evil, the evil part, the natural, for there. Calvary, the blood, was to save man, just like the others. And the coming of the Spirit in this day was here to save man. We had to know these things. Why? Because the fullness of Satan, speaking in tongues, is not enough to defeat the fullness of Satan. The gifts, although they're great, is not enough to defeat Satan. You have to have the full word to do it. Throughout all of this time, everyone's like, oh, well, how could God do this? God did everything to save humanity. Man has turned God down. God has never turned man down. He's done everything he can to save every single person. It's just some people just don't want it. They absolutely refuse to accept it. And I'm just glad that I'm one of the ones who can see and believe.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Mel.
Good morning, buddy. It's good to be back in the house. Reflecting on that song, it made me think about when we were down at Little Bethlehem. And I got an understanding that God was breaking off pieces down through the ages. And he saved that whole loaf for this age. And as we learn, as I learn more, I'm going to speak for myself, that there is no more. This is it. You know, we have all that we need in this age, and I'm so glad that I see that. And as you spoke, Jeremiah, on Wednesday, that was just beautiful. And, you know, I want to tell the Lord on this mic that I do. I believe this message, and I'm taking my steps to him to let him know I believe this message, and I want to be in this to the end.
Yeah,
and I'm so happy that he says I do to me. Amen.
I'm gonna slide in here real quick. I'm sorry, because I know how it's gonna get in here. I just know it. I feel it. This line's gonna line up. So I just want to say something that stuck out to me after Wednesday, because man, I don't see this thing the same anymore. And I've read this scripture so many times, and you guys have read it to me so many times, but it's not real until you see yourself in it, until God reveals himself to you personally, where it's like, oh, Lord, what'd you get me into here? So I just want to go back over something. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, and I wanted to share this because this is just, oh, it stood out to me. So we're going to go to Romans 8, I ain't never went into it by myself, so just bear with me because I'm just sharing my knowledge of the mystery, you know? So, and that's what this is all about. So it's Romans 8:29, and I'm going to just read a little bit, just two verses. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son. So that you said, you guys always say that foreknowledge, you cannot have that predestination without his foreknowledge. And the reason why is because if without the foreknowledge, you can't be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, my goodness. So that right there just slapped me across the face. And then it says here that he might be to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And that's where I got stumped right there, because there's something in that. What he showed me in that is the call is the most important thing. That's the recognition of your day in the message. Just like that little baby eagle that was in with the chickens. He was down on the ground, out of place, out of pocket. He didn't belong there and couldn't even understand what he is, where he come from, until he heard that call. When he heard that call, that changed everything. That's it. Hold on. Wait a minute. That makes sense. I don't know what that is. I don't know where I got to be, but I got to get closer to that. I know that. I don't know anything about it, but I know that. And I'm attracted to it. And here I come. Send me. You know, that call is so important. It's just as important as the shout. The shout, the voice, the trump. They're all one and the same if you know what you're talking about. But he did all that in his descending. And I'm just so happy that I could be that little eaglet, that he made me that little eaglet to where I can hear the call and then act on the call and then get what he's got to give to me and be a part of this thing. God bless you.
Go ahead, Kev.
Bless you, Brian. Back here again. You know, I didn't get to testify last few weeks being back in the sound room, so I was like, well, I'm gonna get up here while I can. So, you know, but I thank God for these messages that we've been getting here. It's been a blessing, it's been an honor, honestly, and it's been jarring my thinking about, you know, just everything in the whole. And, you know, Jeremiah preached Wednesday about, you know, loving God, and I really do love God. This is, you know, I thought this is a love affair. This ain't a forced thing. I'm not forced to come here 1744 Superior. I'm not forced. But I love God enough that I chose to make my home here.
Yes.
You know, and that just boggles my mind because, you know, the church world will have you think you got all this works. It ain't about works. It ain't about that.
No.
If you really love something, you'll yield to it. You know what I mean? That's in the natural. I love my wife. I want the best for her. You don't have to force me to do anything. I want the best for her. You can put me down, but if you put my wife down, you have a problem.
You're going to have a problem. It's real quick. I'm going to turn to a different side of Kevin you ain't never seen before. So, you know, I'm just being honest with you. But when it comes to God, I'm the same way. I love God. I love God enough that God's everything to me. He is. This ain't a forced thing at all. And I thank God for it because God can't ask enough from me. He can't.
Right.
He can take everything from me, that's cars, right. whatever. It doesn't matter. The one thing I have the revelation. I love that. That means everything to me. It does. Like Seth will always say, having a sound mind is a blessing because we live this neurotic age. You could think people just lost the ever-loving mind. They have. And for us to come here with a sound mind and all of us to agree on this word and know no scribbles at all about who preaches, we don't think about what none of that. We think this is the truth. This is the Amen. Full word of truth. And I love that. I just can't get enough of it, and I thank God for the ministry just bringing it to us and jarring my thinking now, and I just love it. And really, I'm thinking, like, what's next? Like, you know, I'm just – thank you, guys.
Amen.
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 Amen. I love this thing. Yeah. I love this thing, and I thought I was going to behave myself. I really tried. But I was out there with them, and I tell you what. It was cold outside, but I tell you what, you start talking about that word, you start, you can't help but be excited. You know, you got to ask yourself, why'd you show up today? Why'd you come in? Did you come in just to sit on a seat to warm something up? Did you come because it's just what you do on a Sunday? I was thinking today, I don't know why you showed up today, but I came to praise the Lord. I can't think about that song. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise the Lord. It's such a simple goodness. Song, but it's such a powerful song. He's done so much for me. And, you know, you got to be careful because you start opening up Romans. You go a little bit further down. What should separate you? What should separate you? There's a list of things on there. If you're having a bad day, if you're having, you know, you're getting, you've lost yourself, you've lost some of that fire, you know, throw that spiritual log on there and go through the list. What shall separate you? Nothing. Nothing will separate you. If you love God, guess what? You make a choice. You make a choice and you draw to it. I love what Brother Moore says. You know what? You'll make time for the things that you love. You'll make time. I love the fact that, you know, here on Sunday, you know, we made time for our weekend. Because Saturday came around, you guys could have been out having fun, doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff. But you know what? 9:30 comes around real early. You have a hunger for it, a desire for it. There's a change. You see the actions. You see the manifestations. I love it. I love it because it excites me because you know what? I made a choice. I made a choice, and it was the best choice I've ever made. Amen. It was the best choice. Everything else I've made in my life, I've made a lot of choices, and not all of them have been good. There's been a lot of bad choices, but you know what? What's funny, though, is he didn't ask you to live it. He said just believe it. If you could just believe. I even thought about that. I was thinking, I was like, you have to believe before you even understand. You just got to believe it. Sometimes it comes across the pulpit and you're like, well, I don't know, but that's nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
That's nothing but the truth. You know what? You keep coming. You keep beating. Guess what? You'll understand. Amen. You'll understand. Even if you don't, there's going to be something that's going to give you a full understanding. It's going to be a body change. There's a promise.
Yeah.
I'm not basing my things on these temporal world. Right, yes, right. Brother Kevin, that sound mind is the best thing you could have. You start thinking about, well, you know what? I woke up this morning, praise God. He kept me through the night, praise God. He's been too good to me. He has done what this world could not do. And I love it. He gave me a revelation. You can sing that song all day. He gave me a revelation of who I am, and he's surely been good to me.
Oh, yeah.
He's done what this world could not do. The world didn't give me an understanding. The world can't take it away. The world can't give you the answers. The world can't give you balance and peace. World can't come in here on a Sunday and talk to you lip to ear, but God can. God has. God will. I've already said amen. I 100% believe the preaching before it's even been preached.
That's right.
That's what I do. That's what a believer does. He believes it.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't ask you for reasoning or rhyme or why'd you do it or why'd you say it, where'd you get it from. I don't care where you got it from. It's nothing but the truth. I don't need that. The scriptures are nice. We can go back and we can read it. You know, there's balance on that. But I just know as a believer, you can stand 100% behind that.
Yeah.
I love this because when I see this body get up, I see that we're strong.
Yeah.
We're not weak. I see a body of believers who's so strong, Satan comes up. I love that analogy you give of the chicken. I love it because you have a choice.
Yeah.
You have a choice whether you're going to let that Satan bother you or you're going to say, it is written.
Yeah.
It is written. It's not even lawful for you to tempt me. That's what speaking what the word is. That's what it is. It comes down to that. I am so thankful that I made it one more time. One more time. Because eventually there's going to be one more time where I'd be the last time. I'm not sitting here waiting for forms and fashions and traditions. I'm not coming here to see a pamphlet or something. Right. I came here to listen to God. I came here to hear from God. Yeah. I've already heard from God. Because you got to know where God's at. We're over here looking for him. He thinks he's still up there. Oh, he's come down.
He's come down.
That's children's bread. But, you know, there's still people looking at I just come hopefully hear from God. I'm praying. You know, I'm hoping to hear from him. I have touched God. I have talked to God. Yes. I have hugged God. I've shook God's hands. I've gotten paper towels for God. I tell you what are you looking for in this day and age? You got to shake yourself. You got to push. You're over here thinking that it's just going to be given to you. You got to step into it by faith. You got to have a step. You have to make the first choice to be like, I believe this. I'll step on this. I understand how he'll do it. I don't understand it. But you know what? He'll do it. He's obligated by his word to follow through.
Amen.
But if you don't, you know what? You're not going to reap the benefits. There's benefits to it. You know what? Because you get up and talk boldly to the devil, or you can sit there like, well, oh, man, I'm not shaking. The testimonies hit different now. There used to be a time where like, well, you know, Lord God, thank you for bringing me one more day. I almost didn't make it. You got people coming in now like, I swear to God, where's Satan at? I love what Brother Jim says. I'm going to walk in his house. I'm going to hit his wife. I'm going to smack his kids. And I'm going to leave. Just let him know who I am. That's the kind of believers you're talking about now. You're not talking about somebody who's torn or shaken or mistaken. Or someone who doesn't know who they are. You're talking to believers. You're talking to a fullness. Not a partial word. Not a piece of bread. You gave me the whole loaf. I know what it is. I love the fact that you can say, what are you going to do when you have a bride that can look all the way back?
Yes.
We looked all the way back to before it was beginning, Elohim. Mm-hmm. And you can look all the way forward. I don't know any other body that does that. For the bride.
Yeah.
Except for the bride. And then it comes down to the fact that you got to say, for me and my house. For me and myself. What's important? What's important? I tell you what's important is I want to get in here. I want to get my hands dirty.
Yeah.
I want to put my seasoning on it.
Yes.
I want to be a part of the service. I'll mow the grass. I'll clean. I'll open the doors. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is want it.
Let me.
You want it. Guess what you'll do? You'll seek it.
Jacob
and Esau, what did he want?
Yeah.
Now, he did a lot of stuff to get that birthright.
That's right.
He did a lot of stuff, but he knew what it was.
Yeah.
If you know what it is, you'll get behind it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll sing the song. You'll testify.
You'll clean.
You'll do part of it. You'll do whatever it is. Yeah. Lord, just use me.
What's in you?
I want to make a choice. I see it now clearer than I've ever seen it before, that he's not going to use an unwilling vessel.
That's right.
He's not going to force himself on you.
That's the key.
You've got to be like, you know what?
You gotta be willing.
I want this. I don't know what I want.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but Lord, here I am. Here I am, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, what are you going to do with a bride like that who knows what it is? Nothing gets said against me. I told you, I tried to behave, but what are you going to
do
with a bride like this? When we have the freedom
at
the front part of the service to get up and to testify and hey, God, thank you for, if nothing else, thank you for letting me hear.
Right.
Thank you that you saw me before the foundation that I would make a choice to serve you by your foreknowledge.
Amen.
And thank you that you've explained foreknowledge to me because you didn't have to. Because as a believer, I'm like, okay, amen, amen. But he gave me all the whispers, all the secrets. I can't help but praise God. I was telling my kids today, it's not a game. This is not a game to me. This is real. Like we saw a guy out there passing out juice as a dressed as Jesus. And I'm like, well, I hope he was serious because I don't want to play that game. I take this seriously. This is my life. This is what I've based my life on. And I am not looking back. That is such a rest.
Let's sing Heaven's Jubilee, Kia F. I got to get some songs in, Sister Moore, and then I'll get you up. I see you.
Food and drink.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Heavenly host, we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee.
Can you get the words up for I'll Fly Away? It's not in our tablet here. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. more time.
Singing, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'm gonna fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away.
Amen. Now, go ahead, Sister Moore.
I can't keep to myself. It's a hallelujah from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy and even strange. Cause praise is just how I say thanks. There's a praise on the inside, I can't keep to myself. It's a hallelujah from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy and even strange, cause praise is just how I say the same. Amen. That's all I got to say.
Go ahead, sis.
I want to claim I'm a bride, I'm a believer, every day pour out what God poured into me.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll be the last one.
Just identify. You know, Wednesday we took Brother Deskins home, and he reminded me of something about how marriage, how our marriage is a perfect type. Perfect type. You know, for so long, this message, people have made it very mysterious, you know, very aloof and something you just couldn't understand. And, you know, this revelation of choice, this revelation of choice has shown so much to me, because just like in a marriage, you have to make a choice. And the reason that the law is done away with, law is replaced with love. And you don't do for your wife out of law. You do for your wife out of love. And I do for Christ out of love. And just like a marriage, it's forever. It's forever. But with God, it's eternal. You know, our marriages on this side, they can fail. You know, but our marriage with Christ can never fail. But it's a choice. And every day I make a choice to love my wife. I make a choice to do for my wife. And I make a choice to do for God. I make a choice to love God, and it's not mysterious. You know, they try to make it so hard. They try to make it so far off. They try to bring in all this crazy knowledge and everything in the message. But it's a simple truth, and we're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. There are depths to this revelation. I don't say there's not depths. There are depths. But simple little me, I don't have to go into the depths. That's for my pastor. All I have to do is believe. All I have to do is every time it comes
That's
across
it.
The pulpit, say, I believe, you know. And I love that because I can do it.
Yeah.
I can believe.
I can do
right.
That's something I can do. I can believe with everything that's in me.
Right.
But the reason I believe is because I made a choice.
Yeah.
God put a seed in me.
Right.
Now I understand how he says, I wish the whole world could have been saved. They didn't love him. They didn't make a choice. So many of those scriptures now that you looked at and you said, well, just lay it aside. I know the truth. I know predestination. But now I know.
Amen. Amen. I know the kids have a song, so come on up. As far as announcements go, I know we got song practice Thursday, and then Brother Rosaldo will be here the Sunday before New Year's service. Amen. Sing, I give myself away. We'll get him up.
George Wednesday.
Yes.
Real well. And going into Romans 9 especially. Romans 9 was always the stumper for me. You know, not of him that will, nor him that runneth, but God that shows mercy. Amen. Now we understand God shows mercy by his foreknowledge.
I love it.
I love it. I love it that way. You know, it they were saying out back here, you know, it sets us more free. It makes it more simple. It brings it more, or I don't know what you say, just easy, just right in your laps, you know. It takes the difficulty out. It takes the complication out of it, you know, to him that believeth, you know. Yeah. It's by faith and faith alone. Amen. And I'm so thankful it is that way, because I have faith in the Word of God. You know, I you know, and he was talking about Jacob, how that, you know, Jacob wasn't a very good fellow. He didn't do hardly anything right. But he loved the Word. He loved the Word of God. He had a love for the truth. And, you know, that a lot of times the devil backed me up in the corner. I said, but I have a love for the truth. Right. He might have all the goods on me. He might be able to point all 10 fingers at me.
Yeah.
But I have a love for the truth.
That's it.
And that's the only thing God respects. The only
that's
thing
it.
God's looking for.
That's it.
When I return to it, will I find faith?
Yeah.
Will I find a love for
that's
the truth?
Him.
That's the only thing that pleases him. The only thing that turned his head. You know, when a man asks a woman to marry him, only one thing he's looking for.
That's it.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. That's all. Mm. Now, like Jeremiah, he brought out something I hadn't looked at before, you know, that, you know, when I said I do to God, I didn't even have the Holy Ghost. You can get that old soul to agree with the Word one time. That was all on me. God didn't help me there at all. That was all on me.
That's it.
Then he burned out that old nature right away.
Yeah.
And when a woman says, I do, she gets the name changed right there. Before they do anything else, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs., you know, with her new name.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm thankful that this is the way it is. It's just more simple. You know, the Word of God came. The seals were broke. The full Word came so that we know what to believe in, so we know what to have faith in. I was thinking about Luther, you know, his faith was limited. It was limited by the word that was revealed for that day, that was given for that day. He believed it, believed all of his heart, you know, but his faith was limited. That's all he knew. He was, like we say, you know, 99% Catholic yet. But that faith in that word, that is what God was looking for. And the same thing in the day, you know, that's all he's ever looked for, you know. Believest thou this? If thou canst believe. And I'm so thankful that it's like, I'm so thankful for the simplicity of the Word of God that I can simply believe His Word by my choice. And He gave me the Holy Ghost because I believe His Word.
Oh, yeah.
Can't beat that.
Can't
Amen.
Beat it. Can't beat it. I'm sorry for double dipping. I just have a praise report to share real quick. I had an unspoken prayer for myself couple months back, and I didn't want to speak on it. I just wanted to just jump through the hoops to get what I needed. And it was a couple months ago when Tommy said, you know, don't even come to work anymore until you go see a doctor, because I had some health issues and stuff. Well, I went to go and see the doctor, got myself, you know, all my blood work and everything came back good, but I had some sleep apnea. I had problems breathing. So they found out that I stopped breathing about 68 times an hour. So I finally, 3 days ago, got my CPAP machine, and I've had the best sleep I've ever had. I never even knew I could sleep that good. So this morning I made pancakes and sausages, and everybody had a cup of coffee. I even called Skylar over, you know, and just my skin felt like it had butterflies, you know. So I thought it was time for the rapture, but it was just some good sleep that I had. So I just wanted to share that. God's been good.
Amen. Amen. He got my belly full, then told me I was leading song service. I give myself away.
Yes,
we'll get him up.
Myself away.
That's my choice, Lord. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Oh, here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in. Do with it what you want, Lord. For I'm longing to see your desire revealed. Oh, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can you. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. I give myself so you. I give myself away. I give myself away. Yes, Lord. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I surrender all, Lord. I give myself away so you can use me. Lord, we're so grateful this morning. So grateful that you made a way that I can offer myself back to you. Lord, you said over in the book of Revelations, you said, take the book and eat it. That was a choice I had to make. And I said, give me that book. It's a privilege to serve you, Lord. No matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, oh, sometimes, Lord, it doesn't go my way. Sometimes I don't get treated like I should be treated. Sometimes I'm taken advantage of. But, Lord, it's okay. It's my choice. I stand here this morning willingly offering up myself to you that I could be a sacrifice that would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, it's not about me anyway. It's not about the individual. But it's about you and what you have in mind for us. Thank you for the standing congregation that's here this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. What a blessing to be in your presence, to come in amongst your people. Some may not even feel 100%, Lord, but ask you to touch them. Some may not have been able to make it this morning because of sickness or other circumstances, but Lord, their heart's desire is to be here and they're tuning in this morning to be able to get what they can
ask you to bless them, Lord. Ask you to bless your bride around the world, knowing that, Lord, the hour is late. It's far spent. The bride knows what she's doing now. And so, Lord, now we present ourselves to you a living sacrifice. Use us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, we've opened the word. Ask you to open our hearts and speak to the people today. Move every hindrance, every problem, every sickness, move it aside so that we can receive that you have for us this morning. Thank you for everything you've done and all that you're about to do. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. It's good to be a part of this. You know, sometimes I feel like sometimes people, they have burdens on their hearts. And they come here with the burdens. Oh, they may not say nothing. They don't have to say it. I know it's there. And let me just tell you this morning, you don't have to be burdened. You don't have to feel like it's all on you. You don't have to feel alone. He'll make sure you have everything that you need this morning. And when you feel like you feel like you can't even say what it is. You say, I can't even get up in front of the congregation and say what I really feel in my heart. God knows your heart. And you don't have to be burdened down with that this morning. Draw the line in the sand and say, enough is enough. We've got too much going for us. We got too much word on our side. We got too much understanding for us to let anything on this side hold us down. Don't come here burdened and leave that way. Oh, it's okay to come there that way. But take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Just realize that God's got your life, no matter what it looks like to you or to others. Don't worry about that. He's getting ready to give you something that's going to lift you up. He's going to give you the joy that you want to have in your heart right now. And you're feeling so burdened that you almost can't even hardly smile. God's got that too. Smile. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. He's got it. You don't need to carry this load. If you choose to carry this on you, it's your choice. But you don't have to carry it this morning. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses here and then I'll let you sit down. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I had made a whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And this is where I'm trying to get to, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which God had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Like the title of the message this morning, God's eternal purpose. And we've been talking a lot here lately on a lot of different things that has tied a whole lot of scriptures and made scriptures make sense that, like you said, we had put on the shelves and that we didn't understand. But now we're understanding a lot of things. We understand that God, before he was called God, had a plan. And this plan isn't something that he just caked together, just threw together. Oh, he's not down here making it at every turn. When Satan throws a roadblock, God turns around and updates his plan. And he fixes it so that he can outsmart the devil. This is an eternal plan. And an eternal plan is a plan that comes from God. But it came from God before it was God. See, I'm not covering that today. We already know that now. If you don't know that by now, go back and listen to the last month's worth of services, and you can find out that before God was God, he was Elohim, that self-existing one. But that's where the plan came from. It's an eternal purpose. God had an eternal purpose. Now, I ain't going to try to stay up here long. I'm trying to get out of here by noon. And we got a baptism today. And so we got that to do as well. So I just want to hit a couple of things. And I wanted to talk about God's eternal purpose. Not God. See, there's a difference between a purpose and an eternal purpose. There's some purposes that God had that he used that were not eternal. But there were things that God had in his mind that were eternal, that were just as eternal as him. Because Brother Branham said that when God thinks, it's different than the way man thinks. When man thinks, he can change his mind. But when God thought, it was the unchangeable mind of Elohim. And that was an eternal purpose. That was something God was going to do. And I'm so glad God stepped himself down. Because I read the Bible where God changes a lot of things. And before, we didn't understand how God can change his mind, when Brother Branham told us that God doesn't change his mind about his word. But you got to understand what we're talking about here. He doesn't change his mind about his word, but he can change his mind about circumstances. Amen. That's why I had to step down into the role of God. Because as God, he could create the heavens and the earth, and he could create things that were not eternal. He could do some things that caused God to have to repent. He could do some things that caused God to change his mind. But God never changed his mind about his word. Oh, you might pray to God and God might give you your answer. But your answer will not change the eternal purpose of God. You might get sick and God doesn't want you sick. But you might get sick because of circumstances bound by the fall. You might physically get sick in your body, but that's not God's goal for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well. That's the will of God. But if you do get sick, you can pray and God can touch you.
Amen.
He can be touched. God can be touched. God can look at you and say, well, I'm going to take your life. And then you pray to him and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you some more years. God can create man and it repents him that even made man. So this is work. I don't want to do this no more. It's no longer fun. God can get ready to destroy everybody. As he was going to do down in Sodom. Remember, God was going to destroy everybody. And then Abraham stood in the gap.
Amen.
And changed God's mind.
Right.
He said, if there be 50, if there be 20, if there be 10. He says, you can convince me of that. If I could find that many, I won't even destroy him. Wait a minute, he already said he's going to do it. So somewhere on the line, God has the ability to make some adjustment, not to his eternal purpose. His eternal purpose is going to be exactly what he saw in his mind, no matter what. That's why the fall in the garden didn't bother God. It didn't change God's eternal purpose. He had that purpose. He had that plan. And God was going to do that no matter what. See, there's certain things God's going to do no matter what. Because it's part of his eternal purpose. And his eternal plan. People don't understand how God can have it make a change in his decisions. And people don't understand how we understand that now. That's why I said I'm not going to spend much time on it. Go back for the last services and you'll understand that. But we're moving on, church. Oh, I'm dealing with a group of grown-up eagles.
Amen.
I'm dealing with people who can eat the meat of the Word of God. And they don't get thrown when you say God changed his mind. They don't get thrown when you say God can't change his mind.
Amen.
You say, he can't, but he can.
Right.
How can this be? It's a paradox.
Amen.
But we understand that now.
Amen.
So we're not stumbling over these things that we stumbled over 2 months ago.
No.
You look and say, what's left on the shelf? I don't know. I don't know. So many things fell off the shelf. I think, is there anything that God would hide from us? Can I hide anything from my friend? I've come down and I've shared with you everything that I have, and now you know exactly what I know. If you've got eternal life, there's only one form. That's God. And you are an expressed attribute, see? If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. If you're not an express attribute of God, I can preach to you all day long, and it won't do no good. An express attribute, not just an attribute, because it's not enough for you to sit here and say, I'm an attribute of God. You have to be an express attribute. In other words, you can't just sit here and say it's right and it not change your life. If it doesn't change your life, you don't believe it's right. When you believe it's right, it changes you. It changes your desire. It changes your push. It changes your love. It changes your direction. It puts you right in line with the eternal purpose of God. You'll lay stuff down and you thought you could never lay down. You'll start doing things you thought, how in the world can anybody do that? He'll make your high places low. and your low places high. The people you used to love, you won't love no more. The people you thought you couldn't stand, you find yourself going to church with them. That's what happens when God gets in there. God gets under the hood. He changes your desire, and he changes your path and your projection. He puts you right in the middle of that eternal purpose and eternal will of God. That's where he starts helping you. He's helping you because you want the help. He's helping you because you love him. You really do. And you might have some problems. You might have some struggles. But you know what he does? He sends somebody by to give you a word. He'll send somebody by to hold you up. He'll send somebody by to say, hey, you know what? You are a good example of a Christian. When you're dogging yourself, he'll bring you helps. He'll bring you support. He'll support you. He'll give you a word in the middle of a service. When you think you're all by yourself, God will come in amongst the people, hold everything up, and talk directly to you. He does that because he cares for you. He does that because he knows you love him, and he knows you want to do the right thing. So he's going to give you all the help and supplies you need to get the job done. Amen. That's why I say you don't have to be down and out this morning. He supplies all your needs. Just asking. See, I'm asking. Ask him again. And matter of fact, when you ask him, don't worry about it. See, our problem is we worry too much. Our problems, we get down on ourselves too much. But you are in the perfect eternal purpose of God. And God's going to give you everything. And if you don't get it, you don't need it. He said, but I want it. You don't need it. He'll supply all your needs. He didn't say he'll supply all your wants. Oh, you might want a spouse. Oh, you might want to be treated better. Oh, you might want to have somebody have better respect for you. But you may not get that. But obviously, if you don't get it, you don't need it. So why are you going to whine about not getting it? Quit whining. Shake yourself. You're a son or daughter of God in the perfect plan of God. And whatever I need, God will supply. That's why you don't need to be down on yourself. That's why you don't need to be down on others. When people don't understand you, don't worry about it. They didn't understand him either. If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. God's going to draw you. They were talking this morning about being the chosen, being chosen in him. You're chosen by God because God already see that he put a seed in you. So that's why he's going to call you. And he's not going to call you to have you down here in the dumps. Shake yourself. You say, I had a bad day. But you can get over that. Because greater is he that's in you than he is in the world.
Amen.
You just need to shake yourself and say, you know what? I'm about God's business. That's all it's about. I'm about God's business. Whether they understand me or not, whether they get along with me or not, whether they like me or not, whether they say I'm right or whether they say I'm wrong, whether they misunderstand me when I'm trying to do the right thing and they misunderstand my goodness for something wrong. I don't even have to worry about that. Because you know what? I'm in the perfect will of God. I'm in his perfect will. And God will supply everything that I need. If I don't get it, I don't need it. No man can come to me except for my Father draws him, see? Which pass away. All these old things, but these things don't. So it speaks of eternity. Everything else is going to pass away except for the eternal things. If you're in the eternal purpose of God, that will last. If you're not, it won't. That's why do you have to worry about it? I've lost good jobs. I've lost bad jobs. And when I say I lost them, I left them. You say, you got fired? No. I left them. Because I'd much rather have what God wants me to have. I'd much rather be where God wants me to be. I'd much rather do what God wants me to do. Because that's the only thing that matters anyway. All this other stuff, you get something, you got to try to hold on to it. You say, well, I got to watch that because if I don't, somebody will steal it. I can't come to church, God, I got to keep my eye on it. You need to let it go. Get an attitude. Let it go. Get troubles. Let it go. See, you were made for an eternal purpose. Because the manifestation of an attribute that was in God, that thought of you and expressed you, and he made an earth to take you out of and to make you a human being. And sin come along and perverted his way. See, God was in the process of doing this. You were going to come anyway. Every eternal germ seed of God was going to come. Satan coming along and perverted his way. You come anyhow. But you were lost with the world. So he come and redeemed you. The expressed attribute. That's what he's redeemed. He didn't redeem that old nature. He redeemed the express attribute because that's the eternal part of you that comes from that purpose that he had from before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem you, the express attribute, and also redeem this earth by the same way. Then his purpose rose on. See, God come, his purpose is going to, his truth is marching on. See, oh, hallelujah. Doesn't that make me so much, that does me so much good. Think of just what lays ahead. Brother Branham is saying, you were going to come anyway. I was going to come anyway. Well, how do you know you're going to be here? Because I'm part of that eternal purpose of God. You know, God's eternal purpose was that he was going to have a bride. He's always wanted us. He's always wanted you. He has always thought about you. And he's always planned his whole plan around you. Amen. And so when he created the heavens and the earth, he created everything that was going to be necessary to bring you here. He didn't have to change nothing. He didn't have to add nothing. He didn't have to say, oh, man's fallen now. Now I need to do something else to the earth to make, oh, I got to make an update. No. Do you realize you were part, do you know every seed that's on the planet now was here when Adam was here? God don't have to come back and throw more seed out. Just like you, just like me. If you were a part of his eternal purpose and his plan, then he took in consideration everything that it was going to take to get you back. Now, his eternal purpose is different than just a purpose. Right. We'll get there. Amen. Genesis 1 and verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That was you. Right. You were part of the earth. I was a part of the earth. We all were a part of the earth. I love saying the earth has not one drop more water than it had when it was created. It just gets recycled. It goes through the animals. It goes through the people. It goes through the plants. It goes through, and it changes its form. It changes. But you know what? We don't have one drop more. It's still here. Every seed that ever was going to be, still here. Brother Branham said here, he says, God's purpose will go back the way he had it in his mind. Because that's an eternal purpose. Not these temporary, see, these things that, now you might think you're set back this morning. I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm feeling it, and that's why I keep coming back to it. You might think you're in a mess. You might think your life's a mess. You might think
Everything you have is a mess. But you are going to go back to exactly what God saw in you from before the foundation of the world. And then what happened, Brother Branham said? He set Adam and Eve here on earth and said, multiply now and replenish the earth. Their bodies were all laid out here for you to eat and to make your body. That's the way it had of doing it. That's the way God had of doing it. But sin come along and interrupted his plan. She rose right on, just the same. Time does. But what did Jesus do? God come down and expressed himself in the form of a man, a human being, gave his life instead of staying here. Which, he was the king, but he gave himself to redeem the rest. You get it? And when it's all over, then it's pulled right back and God's purpose is fulfilled. There is the eternal king, again with his eternal subjects, expressed in human flesh, exactly the way he had it. Sin is took away, the devil is gone, and it's all done now. When God gets us back to his eternal plan, all that other temporary stuff's going to go away. You're not going to have to worry about that stuff anymore. And we spend more time worrying about temporary things. Brother Branham said, we let too many things get in the way. Temporal things, things that are not eternal, things that don't even fulfill the purpose. We mess around with stuff that don't have any eternal quality about them at all. Amen. Tire ourselves up, tire ourselves down, get ourselves in situations, get to a point where it's like, I would serve God, but I've got this going, I got that going. Some people are so busy they don't even have time to serve God.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
I let it all go.
Yes.
Because it's all temporary. The only thing that matters is what God's purpose is from before the foundation of the world and what he has in store for me. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether I win the fight or not. It doesn't matter if I win the argument or not. It doesn't matter if I get this dream job or not. It doesn't matter if I get this spouse or not. It doesn't matter if I have kids or not. None of that stuff matters. Amen. Only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
That's the only eternal part that is. Y'all heard Brother Mike, and Brother Mike was right this morning. Because, you know, he was talking about the water, blood, and spirit. And I had that here. I ain't going to read it now since he said it. But God had in his mind all the way from before the foundation that that lamb was going to be slain. Now, that lamb was only slain after the fall in the mind of God. Whoa. Now, I said I wasn't going there, but I'm here now. The first thing in the mind of God was the fall. Then God said, this fall is going to happen. Now I need to, by my law, I got to have somebody pay the price. So he, in his mind, before he was even God, already put in place the plan for our Redeemer. Because he knew the end from the beginning. He knew all this stuff. He knows you. Do you know God knows your end from your beginning? If he knows the whole world, why are you spending too much time worrying about anything? He already saw it. And you need to focus on the eternal purpose of God. God may want you to go work somewhere. Because in that workplace, there's somebody that needs to meet you. Now, that's the eternal purpose. Eternal purpose ain't the job. Isaiah got a job, but that ain't the eternal purpose. The eternal purpose is, hey, Tommy, guess where I'm going to church? That's the eternal purpose. In turn, Tommy comes. In turn, his wife comes. In turn, the kids come. Now we're on the purpose, the real purpose. It's not about the job. They finish the job and move on to something else. You go through your problems, and we get all bogged down. Can't get over the temporal problem. When you have an eternal purpose, are you serious? You're going to waste your day on something that won't even last the day. Let people upset you? I'm in control of who upsets me. I'm in control of my atmosphere. You can be the devil out of hell sitting right next to me. And I can sit there and hum, oh, how I love Jesus. But we get so bogged down with this world order, thinking it's all important and everything like it's really like eternal. Really? No, it's not. Everything you put in your hand on is going to burn. Every bit of it. He said, but I got a diamond ring, burn. I got a new job, burn. I got a friend, burn. If it's not in the eternal will of God and the purpose of God, it's only temporary. So don't let that bog you down. Everybody's not part of that eternal purpose. I mean, God wishes that all men would be saved. But because he knows who he, because he knows the end from the beginning, he knows that ain't happening. There are people who had their beginning at the fall in the garden. And all those people who had their beginning there will have an end. I don't care how much they got money they get, how rich they get. They get, you know, you almost envy some people that got lots and lots of money. But you got to realize that's this world's order. It's temporal. It's going to burn. I don't care how much you have. It's going to burn. See, I got a lot of money in the bank. It's going to burn too. But there are people that God raised up to do things for him so that he can get to his eternal purpose. Right. And you need to understand that because there are people in your life that are not eternal. And they do things and they hurt you and they do, and it's like, man. But you know what? This too shall pass. That's, right. You just look at them and say, this too shall, you too shall pass. They're not going to be there forever. We act like we're stuck with them. I ain't stuck with none of these temporary people. So why do I let them control my environment, my atmosphere? I got a real eternal purpose that I'm after. Some people have got a purpose, but they're temporal purposes. Romans chapter 9, verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now, that's not the eternal purpose. That's a temporary purpose that God used him to fulfill his eternal purpose. That's why you don't want to get your eyes on the temporaries too much. That's why you don't let them make it break your day. You should have a good day every day. He said, but you don't know my day. I got up first thing in the morning. Had this hit me. That happened. And then that happened. And then this happened. And that happened. By the end of the day, I just wore out. It's still a good day. Did you have your arms? Did you have your leg? Did God protect you? Did he keep you? Are you still doing his eternal will? His eternal purpose? Then what's the problem? Like I told Brother John back there, it's either half full or half empty. It's how you look at it. You can either have a good day or you can have a bad day if you choose. But I'm about my Father's business. I'm about the eternal things. I'm not like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was raised up for that purpose. He was not part of God's eternal plan. He just come about because of the fall. Do you realize if there was no fall, there would have been no Pharaoh? There'd have been no need. If there'd have been no fall, there'd have been no cosmos world order like it is. There'd have been no need. We'd have rolled right along in the Garden of Eden, and it could have happened, you know? People think, well, it had to. Oh, it didn't. As long as Adam and Eve followed the Word of God, there would have never been a fall. You said, but the Lamb was slain. He was. But he was slain after God saw the fall. It's all by foreknowledge. You know, if you know how to play chess, and you know how the moves move, if you can see the whole game before you play it, why are you going to sit over there and be nervous about your opponent's moves? I'm going to win. I know every move you're going to make. Satan did not sneak up on God. But you got to understand the order that this thing happened in the mind of God. God didn't need a redeemer until he knew there was going to be a fall. And because God saw all of these things, he put things in place to make things happen because he had an eternal purpose that was not going to be moved, not going to be compromised, won't change for nothing.
Amen.
God's eternal purpose will not change. It's unmovable. Now, that's the God that's not changeable.
Amen.
That's the one that says, I am God and I change not. Being eternal with him at the beginning, the eternal life that you had, his thought of you, what you was, he wanted me to stand in the pulpit. Listen, how Brother Branham brought it right up to current where he was standing. He said, he wanted me to stand in the pulpit. He wanted you to sit in the seats tonight. Then we are serving his eternal purpose.
Oh, amen.
How is us doing this serving his eternal purpose? In his mind, before the foundation of the world, he said he's going to have you. And it was his choice to use the foolishness of preaching to get the Word of God to you. It didn't change his purpose. The fall in the garden just made this possible. Because you were going to get preached to. Either Adam was going to preach to you or I'm going to preach to you. But it's not going to change God's purpose. You're still going to be talked to. You're still going to be preached to. You're still going to have redemption right there in front. It doesn't change God's eternal purpose.
Right. Amen.
He wanted me to stand in the pulpit. He wanted you to sit in the seats tonight. Then we are serving his eternal purpose. And the one that left home, and the one that left home only come to the earth to serve his purpose. Is that right? The ones at home? They're here to serve a purpose, but not eternal purpose. They're serving a purpose. They're needed. You know, the world's got to get bad. We're all complaining about politics and the world order. Oh, it's the world. I'm ready to go to heaven. This world stinks. It's got to get this way. It's already foreknown and already told that it was coming. We almost act like we're surprised. And the world's got to get worse and worse and worse. And we're sitting here like, oh, it's so bad out. You ain't seen nothing yet. But God's going to get his purpose done. He's going to have his eternal purpose, and nothing's going to stop it. One's at home, the other come to serve his purpose. Is that right? Then, after it's finished, it's brought back to the glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. No wonder Paul could say, when they were building a block to chop his head off, he said, "Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory?" Y'all ain't see. Y'all act like y'all been through something. Hey, none of us been under a guillotine. And if Paul could say that, when they're getting ready to chop his head off, and we're complaining because we didn't have our way at home. I think we need to get our eyes on the eternal purpose.
Amen.
And Paul can look at death's door. He said, "Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory?" But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, he said. "Death, tell me where you can make me holler. Grave, tell me how you're going to hold me. For I am a possessor of eternal life." Right. Amen.
Amen.
He recognized it. See, we need to recognize it. And we'll quit being like this. Quit coming to church up and down. Quit going to work up and down. Quit living at home up and down.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a possessor of eternal life. He recognized it. Death, hell, grave. We read Romans 8. What can separate you? We read it and we shout on it and then we go home and get mad because, well. He recognized it. Death, hell, grave, nothing could hold him and nothing can hurt us. God, eternal life. He realized he was blessed with eternal life. Do you realize you're blessed with eternal life? That you are here fulfilling the eternal purpose of God. God saw you here.
Amen.
Doing exactly what you're doing right now.
Amen.
You are the fulfillment of the eternal purpose of God. Because it takes a preacher and it takes a hearer.
Yeah.
And God moves that way. That's his chosen way to do this.
Yeah.
You say, "I'm going to sit at home." Sit at home all you want. That ain't the purpose of God.
Right.
You say, "Well, I'm mad." Well, get over it. Get over it.
Amen.
"Well, I ain't coming to church." Don't come. It just shows you just have a purpose, but it's not the eternal purpose, because the eternal purpose are people going to be in the house of God. Eternal purpose is people that's going to be fulfilling the word for the hour that they're living in. And we're not half fulfilling it. We got the whole loaf. We're getting fed everything that God's got. He's throwing it at us. But if you don't want it, it just shows that you have a purpose, but it ain't the eternal purpose. The true church, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride, she's like pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There's no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the word of her Lord. And all his works are perfect.
Amen.
In fact, in her is summed up the manifested, the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one falter it? How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we can't do that, we can accept it by faith. For God has spoken it. God said you're here for the purpose of him. God said. See, that's what you need to tell yourself, tell your spouse, tell your boss if you have to, tell your fellow workers. "I'm here to do thy will, O Lord." That's all. That's it. If I have to go by way of Kroger's, I'll go by way of Kroger's, but you know what? Kroger's ain't my end game. My job ain't my end game. My family is not my end game. Oh, I know y'all don't like to hear that because y'all in such love and you're just like, that's temporary.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Your kids are temporary.
Amen.
Your spouse is temporary. So why are you letting them get on your nerve?
Come on, Lord.
I'm here to do thy will, O God. If they help me, they help me. If they don't, I'm still going to do thy will.
Yes.
If you want to go with me, come and go with me. If you don't want to come and go with me, I'm going anyhow.
Yes.
I am not going to let you determine my attitude with God.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And his ways past finding out. You can't figure it out. You will never understand God. Because you got to be able to move like he moved to be able to understand him. Only thing we can do is by faith believe his word when he says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what has happened. This is what's coming. Because he was there and he can go anywhere he wants to see the whole thing. He's already seen the chess game. And he already knows how it ends.
Amen.
And all we can do is by faith believe him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Do you know we have been tapping into things that nobody could ever get? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who told him what to do? Or who has first given to him? Nobody can give to him. It comes from him. That eternal purpose came from the mind of God. And nobody, 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 nobody knew what it was.
Amen.
Who has first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Paul, he's like, hey, nobody can understand the mind of God. And you know, you can't even understand God unless he breaks it down to you. He has to come and reveal it to you. People get mad because they don't have the depths of the revelation. It's like, until God gives it to you, you can't get it. Don't get upset. Don't even get upset because you only have two revelations. God revealed two things to me. One, he revealed to me who I am. And the second thing God revealed to me is what church I go to. That's all I got. That's all I got. I can't testify for 15 minutes like Seth. I only got two things. You know what? Thank God for those two things. Because if God's dealing with you with those two things, that means you are a son or a daughter of God.
Amen.
God's revealed himself to you and you get to go.
Yeah.
That's all you got to know. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
When you get on the other side, you'll get everything like Seth said this morning. You'll get everything you don't have now.
Right.
You'll be testifying and Seth will be sitting back there like, shh, let me get up. Let me say something. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I say it all now, Seth. I got this. No, sit down and eat. Can't you just eat this marriage supper? Just sit down. Let me. No. It's going to be the worst supper ever because everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to want to be a part of this thing. And everybody's going to know what it is. And everybody's going to be saying, hey, I see this thing for myself. God has got this thing in his hands. Quit trying to handle it. Quit trying to hold it. Quit trying to fix it. Just realize I got an eternal purpose of God, and God himself will make sure that everything works.
Amen.
For my good.
That's right. Amen.
Everything, all things work together. Don't you get it, Romans 8, and leave me out there hanging. All things work together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. That's the eternal purpose. If you're the call of God, nothing's going to bother you. Oh, it'll bother you because you're human. If I smack you, Isaiah, you're going to hurt. But that won't stop your eternal purpose.
Right. Amen.
You and I might fight, but it won't stop the eternal purpose. It has nothing to do with the eternal purpose. But when I get in line with what the Word is saying about me, when I do and I'm living and manifesting what the Word manifests out of me, then I am in the eternal purpose of God. Revelations 13:8, Brother Branham said here, says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But that life could not and would not be shared in any other way than through the way that of God's manifesting in the flesh. This was a part of his eternal and predestinated purpose. So, you're telling me that God saw the fall was coming. So, in turn, in his mind, he decided that the lamb was going to have to be slain because that was God's requirement for men to be saved. So, now you're starting to understand how God put this plan together. God said, man's fallen. They need a redeemer. I got a lamb. I'm going to come down as a lamb and sacrifice myself. That was his eternal purpose. Because remember, it goes all the way back to God had attributes in him that he wanted to express. He wanted to be a redeemer, but he couldn't make man fall. Isn't that weird? God wanted to be a redeemer, but he couldn't make man fall because then he would be an unjust God. Because that's like me setting you up. I put 35 miles an hour down on at the beginning of the street, and you pick it up speed, and I got right in front of the church. I put up a sign that says 5 miles an hour, and then I parked my car right in front of the 5 mile an hour sign. So by time you might even be doing 35. That's not illegal. But you're doing 35, and the limit's dropped down to 5 all of a sudden, and I'm sitting there in my cop car. Clocking you. And then you go to court. And next, and you explain it to the judge. That judge is going to throw that case out. It's like, you're a bad police officer. You don't set man up for failure. That's the way it is with God. Had God set us up for failure, he wouldn't be a just God. So God couldn't make us fall, but he put things in place because he knew what we were going to do. And he created those angels. And Lucifer was the number one. And he knew what Lucifer would decide. Before he did it, he knew it. When he made him, he knew it. But he couldn't make him in such a way to make him do it. Isn't that's like driving on ice. You have no control, but yet you have all control. That shows you how great this plan is. So God didn't make this plan happen. He would have been satisfied in one sense for Adam and Eve in the garden to start producing and just brought us. He would have still been a father. He was still, but there were attributes that he wouldn't have been able to express. So in making the devil and the fall in the earth, now he's got something to pull us out of. Now he's got something to redeem us from. Now he's got something he can do his job. I couldn't be a father until I had a kid. Now I come and boss y'all kids around. Y'all wouldn't like it. But when I got my own kid, you can't tell me nothing. I'm the daddy now. It's like, that's the way God was. God could not express these elements that he had in him until we got in a position where we needed it. You don't need healing if you're not sick. Right. Adam and Eve would never have gotten sick. Yeah. You don't need redeemed unless it's fallen. Right. Adam and Eve had to fall, but God couldn't make them. It was their choice, just like it's your choice. Amen. You can have a good day today, or you can have a bad day today. Right. It's your choice. You can, when we get out of here and y'all stomach growling, y'all can go anywhere you want to eat. It's your choice. That's how I have no control over it. That's how it is with God. God couldn't make you go eat at Texas Roadhouse, Melanie. But because God knows Melanie, that's the way God is. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I love Ephesians chapter 1. And I try to cut these down so I don't read so much. According, verse 4, as he has chosen us in him, when? Is that fair? You got to understand that by him choosing you, how that, there's a whole process that happens. There's a lot that goes into choosing. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation world. How did he choose you? Weren't even here. Because of his foreknowledge, he knew we would actually be sitting here today. So God formulated this message for this particular day, for this particular group. My ex-sister-in-law, when she'd come, Brother Childers preach on headship every service, she'd come. And she'd say, why doesn't he preach on anything else but headship? She stopped coming and he moved on. God formulates the services according to the need of the people. So God knew today that you would be sitting here. And God knew today that I'd be standing here. And God knew what he was going to speak to you personally through my lips while we're here today that you couldn't get nowhere else. He's chosen us in him before the foundation world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How are you going to be holy and without blame? Without God declaring you. You know, I got this thing from this brother, and it's on Two Souls. He's wanting to know if I believe in Two Soul doctrine. I shared it with Jeremiah and with Jay because I figured, you know what? You guys need to understand what people out there think the two-soul doctrine is, and you need to understand it. Well, in this two-soul doctrine, because remember Brother Childers went to a brother years and years and years and years and years ago, and he had never heard about the changing of the soul until he heard this brother preach. And when he heard him preach, he knew he didn't have it right, but he knew he had a truth. And so Brother Childers come back and balanced it and preached it right. But I got this thing, and it shows all the reasons why two-soul doctrine is wrong. They think that the two-soul people think that your old soul comes from the devil, and he created it. And they say that if you get changing of the soul, they think that the eternal soul of the believer is always perfect. They got it wrong. They got it messed up. None of it. We all come born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Speaking lies. So the doctrines, they don't know how to balance the doctrines out. Part of the two-soul doctrine is right and part of it's wrong. And part of the nature is right and part of it's wrong. Cleansing versus, you know, they don't know how to balance it. But thank God that Brother Childers had the Holy Ghost. Because he balanced the thing out and he brought it right down. Because when I read this thing, I said, we believe that, but we don't believe that. We really don't believe that. And I thought, no, I don't believe that. So, you know, they're all mixed up. They don't even know. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. God adopts his own children. It's not like the world adoption. We adopt somebody else's children. But God doesn't want anybody but his own. Having predestined us according to the good pleasure of his will. What will? What he had in his mind from before the foundation world. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. And home, we have redemption through his blood. Only way in. That's the only way for redemption to work. You're not going to be saved by anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't ever think you're good enough. Don't ever think you're holy enough. Don't ever think you've done some things just right, because remember that rich young ruler did everything right and he still went to hell. Of whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Let us know what he wants done, how he's going to play this thing, what he's after. You know, Paul knew a lot. Paul was caught up in the Lord's day. Now, a lot of things that Paul brought, he'd only bring so far and stop, because he knew that it was too deep for the people to understand. But he saw a lot. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. God had to purpose this in himself. Nobody else. He didn't have nobody back there to decide for him. He didn't have nobody to look in his mind and say, let's do it this way, let's do it that way. A lot of people think, you know, when he said, let us make man in our image, that he was talking to the second person or third person of the Godhead. He's talking to himself. He's talking to his attributes. He was discussing what was going on in his mind. So let's just make man. Let's do this thing. That in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Everything that was in his mind, he's going to gather together. Now, if you weren't in his mind, you ain't going to be gathered together. If you were only a temporary thought, he's not going to worry about you. But if you're an eternal, predestinated seed of God, doing God's eternal purpose, you will be there. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. From his mind, he said, I'm going to be down on 1744 Superior, and I'm going to preach to myself. And I'm going to turn myself on with my word. That's the eternal purpose of God. Your Monday morning quarterbacking at work ain't going to get it. What you did yesterday ain't going to make no difference. If you're doing something at the car lot and you're trying to buy a new car, God don't care about that. That's not the eternal will of God. Only what you do for Christ will last. You coming to the house of God will last. You receiving the word of God will last. You surrendering all and says, Lord, take my life. I'm a living sacrifice. That will last, because that puts you right in the eternal purpose of God.
Yes.
Everything else will come and go. Now, Brother Branham said, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the foundation of the world. This choosing of the bride was purposed in himself, Ephesians 1 and 9. And in Romans 9, 11, it says, the purpose of God according to election might stand. You can't read it any other way. If you don't believe in predestination, something's wrong with you. Now, I was apostolic, and they taught me not to believe in it. But when I heard the word preached in its reality, how it really is, oh, my goodness, you can't talk me out of predestination, because I know how it works. God predestinates by his foreknowledge. Can't read it any other way. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of his own choosing. And that purpose was in himself. That was God's eternal purpose. It was always God's purpose to have you. Do you realize that? You were going to come to God no matter what happened. Of his own choosing, and that purpose was in himself, and being eternal was decreed before the foundation of the world. Amen. Watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, now we're getting back to the eternal purpose. Now, this ain't me, this is Brother Branham saying this. Before God was God, then he said, God is an object of adoration. And no one was there to worship him. So he was at time only potentially God. And he was known only as eternal spirit. The bride was already in his mind. Before he was God. The bride was already in his mind. We were part of that eternal purpose of God, that God purposed from the beginning we were coming. If it would have been Adam and Eve, we still would have come. If it had not been a fall, we still would have come. Okay. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal, are they not? The eternal thoughts of God, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you can see many things. And since we've been talking about this lately, we have been able to see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. Now he's talking way back in Elohim. We have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite and his attributes So therefore, he as God must be omniscient. If he's omniscient, then he's not now learning. So he ain't talking about the creation God that said, this is good. He's talking about Elohim. He's talking about what the God back that's omniscient. He knows all things. He cannot change. He cannot adjust. He can't change his mind at all, period. That's why God had to delve himself down. Because he couldn't do what he needed to do as Elohim. Okay, if he's omniscient, then he's not now learning. Nor is he taking counsel even with himself. That's way back there. That's before he asked himself, wait, let's make man. But taking counsel in himself. Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. We're way back there, church. What are you going to do when you get a group of people? Who knows what it is and can look all the way back. I'm not talking about to God. I'm talking about all the way back. Back when he decided he wanted to be God. Back when he decided he was going to have a plan of redemption. Back when he decided that there needed to be a Savior. Okay. Nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, then he's not omniscient. The best we could say is that sometime he will be. In other words, if he's not all-knowing, once he learns everything, then he will be. That's what Brother Brown said. If he's not all-knowing, the best we could say he will be. But he's not will be. He is. He is all-knowing. Okay, so it's not, we could say that he will be. But that is not scriptural, Brother Branham said. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything because all of his thoughts he has always had and always will have and know the end from the beginning because he's God. And that's way back there. That's where preachers had trouble getting this in. They said, you're telling me God can change his mind. He can change his mind as God. But remember, before he was God, he couldn't even change a thought. That was his eternal purpose rolling forth. And he was going to have that no matter what, whether there was a fall or not. I had the potential to be a father when I was single. And had I not had children, I had the potential to be a father, but I just would have never manifested it. Same with God. It was in him to be a redeemer. But had there not been a fall, he couldn't have been a redeemer. People think he had to be. He didn't have to be. It's just something he wanted. I didn't have to be a father. It was something I wanted. But as I start manifesting these attributes that are in me, then you can look at me and say, you're a father. You're a husband. You're a pastor. You're a brother. You're these expressed images that you had in your mind. And all these things were in the mind of God. We're always there. But they didn't have to manifest. They were in him to be manifested. But if there hadn't been a fall, there wouldn't have been a redeemer. Let me just keep reading. Okay. He is omniscient. He never had a new thought about anything because all his thoughts he has always had and always will have and knows the end from the beginning because he is God. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. They're real. They're not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up and which one day will be translated into substance and form, but they are already real and eternal and part of God. There's that eternal purpose. It was always in God to be these things. And we come forth because we were a part of him. And because we were part of his thinking from the beginning, we will manifest that in this world. Now when you look around, you're looking at the manifested sons and daughters of God. These are the same people who were in the mind of God before he was God.
Amen.
The same one that he purposed in himself that he was going to have. The same one that he made a plan. And God's eternal purpose rolls no matter what comes or goes. That's why you don't need to worry about these little petty things from day to day, from hour to hour, from problem to problem, from situation to situation. Know you're a son of God. Know you're a daughter of God. Know you've got the eternal purpose of God on your side. And nothing shall prevent you from doing that. Nothing will. Nothing will. Nothing will. Nothing's worth it. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. And let God know, I'm going to do this. Because this is what you saw me doing from before the foundation world. You didn't see me down here whining around, crying, oh, I'm not getting my way. No, I'm standing up like a son of God. Whether I get it or not, whether I have first place or last seat, whatever comes or goes, it doesn't matter. Romans 8 is still true. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And I ain't letting you do it or anybody else. No thing. Not a person, not a situation, not a problem. Nothing's going to separate me from this purpose because I'm a son of God. I'm about my Father's business. I'm eternal. And this was in God's mind. My love for him was in his mind from before the foundation of the world. And nothing is going to deter me from fulfilling my scriptures. I'm doing what I'm ordained to do. I'm doing what God saw from before the foundation of the world. That's who we are. And you're going to have to push. You're going to have to decide, I've had enough. I always tell married couples when they call me in to, you know, counsel, I'm like, you know what? Y'all can have this house as good as you want it. It can be full of love, or y'all can fuss and fight. I had a couple, I said, I'm going to give me some popcorn and sit and watch you two fight. Because it's your choice. If you want to have a tore-up home, go for it. You can have it. If you want to have a clean home, you can have it. If you want to have a dirty home, you can have it. It's your choice. If it's a dirty home, I just won't sit in it. But you have these choices. And today, you have a choice to walk out of here a better person. Or you can walk out of here with an attitude. He ain't talking to me. He can't tell me. You know, it's your choice. But the eternal purpose of God stands sure. We're going to do it. The bride will fulfill the word of God. And nothing's going to take it away. I ain't reading Romans 8 because you read it on Wednesday. But you know it's there. All things work together for the good. But it's only to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning that You purposed in Yourself to have us. You purposed in Yourself that we would manifest You. And Lord, we don't want anything to hinder us. We don't want anything to slow us down. And nothing will stop me because You've already seen the end from the beginning. And You give me everything I need to overcome. You didn't leave me here to fight this by myself. Because I love You, You come and supply me with everything that I need to get the job done. Now I don't have to be down. I don't have to be out. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to try to separate myself and feel like I'm all alone in the world. Because I have the whole counsel of heaven and earth with me. Thank You for that eternal purpose, Lord, and help us to use that purpose to get Your job done. We're not here for ourselves, but we're here for You. This is what You saw in us. And Father, we pray that You'll move us forward in such a way that we'll stand strong in the hour that we're living in. That we won't let all these little circumstances and problems and troubles and ups and downs of this life cause us to be ineffective when it comes to doing Your will. I want to be effective, Lord. I want my steps to count. I want my moves to count. I want my life to count for You. Help us to do so, Lord. Those that are here today. Well, I felt in my heart that I at the beginning, I wanted to just encourage us to step aside and let Your word have our lives and not let the situations and problems of this life bog us down, but let us be about Your business. That's what Jesus said. I must be about my Father's business. And Lord, we need to be about Your business because we're trying to wrap this thing up. And You're not going to do it with a bunch of half-hearted people who half serves You, but You're going to do it with somebody who's got a purpose about them, that's got a walk and a talk and a look and a life that matches what You're looking for in this end time. That's us, Lord. Help us to be strong. Help us to whip the devil. Don't let him push us around. Help us to recognize that we have our purpose in You and You alone. Thank You for all You've done. Thank You for this group, this congregation. I ask You to continue to be with us. Bless our brother that's going to be baptized this morning. Lord, his heart's desire is right and he's excited about Your word. And Lord, I want to get him while he's excited. I don't want him to get bogged down with the cares of the world. I want him to be able to love You and serve You and please You regardless of what comes in his life. Thank You for him coming, and Lord, I ask You to bless and be with him. Bless this congregation. Help us, Lord, to stand strong. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you want to come, and Jeremiah will get you fixed up. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for You. That's what He wants to do. He wants to be in us. He wants to live in us. And He wants us to give Him our lives. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Save me, the heart and soul.
prepare me to be a sanctuary. Here I am, Lord, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary. For that's where he wants to live. Lead me, Lord, lead me on, Lord, from temptation, purify me from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, take away all my sin.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for our brother Colton here, Lord, who has a desire to serve you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask that you bless him, Lord, give him peace and joy and understanding that passes everything that this world has to offer. Be with him in his life, Lord. Be with him in his walk. Bless him. We thank you for him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Colton, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ.
Amen, buddy. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Water's warm.
Baptized into the body, key of G. Have you been baptized into the body? Not just water baptism, but baptized with the Holy Ghost. There is but one way to enter in it, just as they did at Pentecost. Now don't forget, church tonight, 7 o'clock, be here, come and expecting. Bring your questions, comments for Bible study, whatever you have in mind, we'll gladly answer them. Have someone in the body here who will answer for you if I don't. Have you been baptized into the body? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. There is but one way to enter in it, just as they did at Pentecost. Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Are you with the Savior's bride? Come and be baptized into the body and forevermore abide. There is but one church.
There is but one church, bride or body, and into it we are all baptized. Holy Spirit, so by the world we're all despised. Are you in? Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Oh, are you in the Savior's bride? Come and be baptized into the body, and forevermore abide.
When the bridegroom comes,
when the bridegroom comes, will you be ready? Are your vessels are filled and prime? You will be among the foolish virgins if you do not walk in the light. Oh, are you in the church triumphant? Oh, are you in the Savior's bride? Oh, come and be baptized into the body, and forevermore I am in. Oh, I am in the church triumphant, and I am in the Savior's bride. Oh, come and be baptized into the body, and forevermore abide. Oh, are you